Tats by Brahma. Shrista Shrista Shristeshu. Amongst all living entities begot them. Kaha. Who? Nu. Indeed. Akandita. Not distracted. Dehi. His intelligence. Puman. Male. Rishim. The sage. Narayanam. Narayana. Rite. Except. Yoshit Maya. In the form of a woman. Iha. Here. Maya. By Maya. Translation, and this is one of the heavy verses. Amongst all kinds of living entities begotten by Brahma, namely men, demigods, and animals, none but the sage Narayana is immune to the attraction of Maya in the form of a woman. You can repeat. Amongst all kinds of living entities, begotten by Brahma, namely men, demigods, and animals. None but the sage Narayana is immune to the attraction of Maya in the form of woman. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The first living creature is Brahma himself, and from him were created sages like Marichi, who in their turn created Kashyapa Muni and others, and Kashyapa Muni and the Manus created different demigods and human beings, etc. But there is none among them who is not attracted by the spell of Maya in the form of woman. Throughout the entire material world, beginning from Brahma down to the small, insignificant creatures like the ant, everyone is attracted by sex life. That is the basic principle of this material world. Lord Brahma's being attracted by his daughter is the vivid example that no one is exempt from the sexual attraction to woman. Woman, therefore, is the wonderful creation of Maya to keep the conditioned soul in shackles. So, tat srishta srishta srishteshu konvakandittati puman rishim narayanam mrite yoshin mayeha maya. So, om gana timiranda shak gananjana shilakaya chakshurad meditam Yenatas Mai Shigurave Maha. So lest people think that we're sexist in the Krishna consciousness movement, Prabhupada in other places actually indicates that for the woman, the man is the agent of Maya, or the representation, not exactly agent, wonderful creation of Maya to keep her in shackles. So heavy stuff is mentioned here. And the reason this is the case, one may say, you know, why is this? You know, why did Krishna make it in such a way like this? The reason is actually explained by Bhaktivinoda Thakur in the Chaitanya Shikshamrita. As he says, the conditioned souls, the attraction the conditioned souls have for material objects is but a perverse material transformation of spiritual rati. And of course, rati actually can mean like a taste, like rasa, something like rasa, or attraction. Actually, more precisely, it means attraction. So, of course, the topmost attraction between entities in the spiritual realm is between Radha and Krishna. And interestingly enough, Radharani controls Krishna. She is known as Madan Mohan Mohini. That means the attractor of the attractor of Cupid. Krishna is the attractor of Cupid, and she is the controller. One of the transcendental qualities of Srimati Radharani is she always keeps Krishna wrapped around her little finger. So actually, when it says here, Narayana is immune to the attraction of Maya in the form of a woman, that's in reference to Mahamaya. In reference to Yogamaya or Radharani, Yogamaya is an expansion of Radharani. Narayan and Krishna are not immune to that attraction, which is interesting. It's like we told the story the other day about Balaji. Does anyone remember we told the story about Balaji? Did I tell it here? No, I didn't. I don't know if I told it here. It's a very interesting story. What happened is that Lord Vishnu was in the spiritual world with Lakshmi. I'm not going to tell the whole story. It's quite a complicated story. But Lord Vishnu was in the spiritual world with Lakshmi, and Lakshmi was serving him nicely. She was massaging his feet and everything like that, as every good wife should always massage the husband's feet. You should tell that to the ladies. Especially in America, they think, he should massage my feet. Anyway, so she was massaging, she resides at the feet. So anyway, so what happened is that this sage, Brigham Muni, came. And what he did was he was going around testing the different demigods to see who was actually in the mode of goodness. This is mentioned in the Prabhupada's book, in the Krishna book, 10th canto. He insulted Lord Brahma by basically not offering obeisances. He insulted Lord Shiva with his words, and he insulted Lord Vishnu by kicking him in the chest. I think you all know this story. Anyway, so when he kicked Lord Vishnu in the chest, Lord Vishnu, being in Vishuddhasattva, in transcendental goodness, he didn't get angry. Most of us, if we get kicked in the chest, we kick the other person back in the chest. And if you happen to be Lord Vishnu and you kick someone in the chest, well, that's kind of nice, being kicked in the chest by Lord Vishnu. But it's a heavy kick, because he can kick a hole in the universe, as he did with Lord Brahma. In the Vamana, as he did as Lord Vamana. Anyway, so when he kicked Lord Vishnu in the chest, Lord Vishnu said, "I'm sorry, my chest is so hard." How many of you would be so tolerant like that? Someone kicked you, you said, "Oh, I apologize. That chest is too hard. Please forgive me, my dear sage." That would be shocking if one of us happened to do that. Usually we have this response, the fight or flight response. If the guy is bigger than us, we're going to head for the hills. And if he's smaller than us, we're going to just beat the pulp out of him. Right? Fight or flight. Or in the modern world, you just get an anxiety. Because you want to beat the pulp out of him, but you don't want to go to jail. So anyway, isn't it the modern response is you just hold it all in. And you think, "I want to kill him." And then, or you get depressed, one of the two things. Anyway, so getting back to the point. So Lord Vishnu dealt with it in a very sattvic way. But Lakshmi, she was not dealing with it in the same way. She got very angry at Brigham Muni. In fact, she was so angry at Brigham Muni that she generalized her anger to anger towards all the brahmanas. And Prabhupada explains that's why generally a brahmana is not so wealthy. Actually, poverty is the wealth of a brahman, because the brahman that way can become detached. Actually, the more you have, like the story of Sanatan Goswami when they had the 8 gold coins and he was trying to escape from the prison like that, the more anxiety that there is. And just like when Lord Chaitanya saw Sanatan Goswami with this nice chadar, this nice wool, new chadar like this. It wasn't saffron, but it was like different colors. You saw nice wool chadar. Lord Chaitanya kept looking at it. He didn't say anything, but Sanatana Goswami understood that Lord Chaitanya did not approve of him being in the renounced order of life and actually wearing, nice clothes, because Lord Chaitanya's instructions were, when now that you're in the renounced order of life, don't wear nice clothes, don't think of women even in dreams, and don't, what? Eat palatable dishes. This is actually an important point for those who actually want to make advancement. Anyway, I know that's politically not correct. We've had some heavy feedback from that particular statement the last few days. people threatening to go on strike, you know, pick at the temple, you know. Maharaj, unfair to the tongue. Anyway, so... you know, just they have big pickets with, in the shape of a tongue, you know. We want our ghee. We want our salt. We want our heart condition. We want our aneurysms, you know, bleeding in the brain. We want our diabetes or die. Diabetes or die. Anyway, so... anyway, so when Lord Chaitanya kept looking at that, then what happened is that Sanatana Goswami traded it in for an old chadar that a Muslim had, you know, a quilt or patchwork chadar. Anyway, so let's get back to the story. But Lakshmi, she was upset, and she cursed the brahmanas like to be poor. But not only was she that upset, but she actually left. She was so angry with him. Just like we saw one video that when a lady gets angry with a man in this world, he's in something called a doghouse. You ever hear that expression before? And the man says, "I'm in the doghouse." That may be literally taken or figuratively taken. So she left. And then Lord Narayan, or Lord Vishnu, he was just so upset, he was missing her. So there was attachment there. That's the point I'm making. He was missing her, and then he came down to the material world and was crying and crying and crying. And then, anyway, that's how Balaji came down to this world, because he was looking for, maybe you know that story, but he was looking for Lakshmi. And ultimately, he got married to a Padmavati, who was Vedavati in the previous life, who was part of Lord Ramchandra's passives. I thought I told that story already here. Maybe I did, maybe I didn't. I did tell the story, yeah. Yeah, the Sunday feast. Actually, I told it the Sunday feast. That's why you didn't hear it. Some of you didn't hear it. So it shows that actually the Lord Vishnu is actually controlled by the love of Lakshmi. And similarly, Krishna is controlled by the love of Radharani. I mean, if you read some of the books of the Goswamis, like the Vidagdha Madhava, which deals specifically with some of the pastimes between Radha and Krishna, you'll see that, you know, when Radharani's not coming, Krishna's all bereft. And, you know, he's showing symptoms, the same sort of symptoms that you have seen in this material world, such as, like, he even gets angry with his friend, Madhu Mangal, when Madhu Mangal like reveals to his mother what's been happening, you know, to Mother Yashoda what's been happening between Radha and Krishna. Like I told that story. I know I told this story in the class that, you know, look, Mother Yashoda asked, you know, "Where have you been, Krishna? Why have you been so late?" Madhu Mangal said, you know, "He's just enjoying the girls." And Krishna says, you know, basically, you know, what is this fool saying? You know, he's going to get me in trouble. So the same set of things you see here. Or like in the material world. You know, what I've seen sometimes is that when people have an illicit relationship, then sometimes the lady's friends, they'll actually, like, it's ridiculous, but, you know, they'll actually be watching out to make sure that nobody comes and finds them. It's really horrendous. You know, people get this enjoyment, this indirect enjoyment from seeing someone else enjoying this material world. It's quite interesting phenomenon. Or, you know, people watch soap operas, you know, they're not directly enjoying, but they're, you know, there's just somehow that there's some emotional enjoyment there. So that's a perverted reflection of the Manjari Gopis. You understand? So actually you find, the point I'm making is you'll find perverted reflections in this material world, and you can appreciate, if you really can understand the perverted reflections, of course, not that you should study the perverted reflections, you know. Like today, I'm going to go see a love movie just to understand Radha and Krishna. But you can, by studying, by observing, I didn't say studying is not the right word. By observing, because studying means you pick up books and read about, you know, Jane Austen novels or something like that. Observing what you see, you can actually understand somewhat what's happening in the spiritual world with the Manjaris and the gopis and Radharani and Lakshmi and everything like that. So there is, Narayan is not immune from the attraction to the superior energy, but he's immune from the attraction to the inferior energy. So that's a very interesting point. But the rest of us are not immune to that attraction. Actually, there's another pastime that illustrates the point that Narayan is immune to the attraction to the illusory energy is when Narayan was meditating, Nara and Narayan, they were meditating, and Indra, he wanted to deviate them from their meditation. He came down with a whole bunch of heavenly society girls, and they were all dancing, and there was springtime and the breezes of spring, you know, like in springtime, a young man's fancy turns to lust. You know, so can you imagine that? You know, all the breezes, and the nice scents from the trees and the bushes and everything like that. And Narayan Rai was meditating there, and all the dancing girls, and Cupid was there also, firing his arrows. Cupid has a machine gun nowadays. So anyway, doesn't use arrows anymore. He uses an M16 or something like that. So anyway, so he's firing, but Narayan Rai was just like, oh, what's the big deal, you know? And then, of course, they all understood, Indra and the other demigods and Cupid, they all understood they made a big mistake, and they apologized, and what Narayan did is he just created a celestial beauty like Urvasi from his body, and he said to them, well, if you want her, you can take her back with you. So the point of that is that, as Prabhupada says, that actually, when one is a sweet maker, he's not that much attracted by sweets. In other words, Krishna creates all the beauty, so he's not going to be that much attracted by it. You know, just like an artist, you know, the artist creates different paintings, so, you know, of course an artist may be proud of his paintings, but he's not sitting and staring for hours and hours and hours at his paintings, because he created it, or a sweet maker. So Prabhupada gives that example. So for the rest of us, we have to be careful. Tenga cuidado. We have to be careful with this material energy. And of course, when we come to prema, then we don't have to worry about being careful, because then we're controlled by the spiritual energy. But we're not at that stage right now. So before we get to that stage, we have to go through all these other stages, ado, shraddha, tata, sadhu, sangota, bhajana, kriya, nartu, nivritti, then nishta, then ruchi, then ashakti, and then finally bhava, and then prema. So we've been reading about these various stages in the Chaitanya Shikshamrita, and today we're going to read about one of the future stages. What do we say? Right now, we're in the stage of Vaidhi Bhakti, at least some of us here. Some of us may be in the stage of Maya Sukaya. That means happiness in Maya, but at least most of us are in the stage of Vaidhi Bhakti. So after Vaidhi Bhakti, what are you hankering for? Does anyone know? What's the next step? What? No. No, after the Vaidhi Bhakti, there's Raghunuga. That's the next step. That's the next. Don't try to jump too high, because we have to step, 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 step. I mean, sometimes when I'm climbing steps, I'll just jump like two steps at a time, but that's not so healthy spiritually. So then after Vaidhi, there's Raghunuga Bhakti, which is Raghunuga Sadhana. Got it? And then after Raghunuga Sadhana, as far as the practice goes, then there's Bhava. As far as the stages go, then you have to have, before you come to Bhava, then there's Narta Nivritti, and then there's Nishta, becoming steady. And after steadiness, which we mentioned before, then there's Ruchi, and then finally there's a Shakti, and then Bhava. These are the stages, but the practice is, anyway, the practice is a little bit different than the stages. Everyone understands? Okay. So now we're going to read about Bhava, which is a higher stage than most of us are at right now. And Bhava is preliminary to prema. And Actually, bhava is called the preliminary stage of prema. And bhava, what bhava is, like the ontological situation of bhava, is it's vishuddha sattva. It's a manifestation of the vishuddha sattva. And it makes the heart very soft. Mm. And another thing it does is it takes possession of the mind. That's the way you know you're in bhava. You understand? It takes possession of the mind. Previously, before you reach bhava, you had to really struggle to remember Krishna. The mind would naturally go to maya. But when you're at bhava, then the mind naturally goes to Krishna, and you have trouble thinking of maya. I don't think any of us have trouble thinking of maya now. We have trouble thinking of Krishna. So anyway, so bhava, another explanation of bhava is rati, or attraction, extreme attraction. And we mentioned before, the attraction that we have for this material world and objects in this world is reverse attraction or transformation. It's actually a transformation of the spiritual rati, which is really interesting. It says, so we are cultivating bhakti in this world, and we get a portion of the samvit shakti, that's the cognitive shakti of the Lord, which is called rati, and this becomes a cause of the tastes for the objects related to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then we get a portion of the ladini shakti, that means the bliss portion, the bliss potency of the Lord. And this gives us the bliss that we experience in Krishna consciousness, which is really interesting. Mm. Mm. So, this, try to understand this. This actually gets a little technical. Rati means, that's an attraction, is the smallest divisible portion of prema. In other words, let's say an atom, you know, you can break the matter down to atoms, and atoms become like the different particles, the electron, and then you can break it down further, anyway, to subatomic particles. So the smallest particle of prema is rati, or attraction. That, and how does that apply to us? You know, that we can build on, when we have some attraction for something related to Krishna, or Krishna himself, or Krishna's abode, or Krishna's pastimes, or anything like that, we can build on that. That's a particle, a building block. We can build on that to attain prema. Hmm. And all the states that we experience in sadhana bhakti, such as, you know, shraddha, ruchi, ashakti, etc., are all fragments of one unit of rati. So bhava is one unit of rati, and all the preliminary stages are fragments of that unit of bhakti. This is extremely poetic. Hmm. Hmm. So Bhaktivinoda, this is interesting, trying to follow this. In people of this world who follow, who are moral and are not godly, you know, not Krishna conscious, the forms of rati are ordered, the perverted forms of rati are ordered. When it comes to a higher stage, what's called the theistic moral stage, the form is more ordered but very distorted. When the devotee practicing sadhana bhakti, there's no distortion, but the rati remains fragmented. It's, in other words, it's real rati, but it's fragmented. It sometimes it's there, sometimes it's not there. And, you know, it's like you're caught between the two worlds, practically, when you're performing the Vaidhi sadhana. When you advance, then you get that one indivisible unit of prema, which is rati, which is the attraction. That means it's coming. Prema is coming when you actually have that rati. And when you have all the units of rati, when you're attracted, what does it mean, all the units of rati? You're attracted by every aspect of everything related with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then you have prema. That's a definition of prema. When everything related to the Lord attracts you, you have prema. If one thing, it's rati. Got it? That's really interesting. Hmm. And once we get that one unit of rati, or attraction, that's bhava, then even if we're in the material world, we're free from the perverted reflection of rati, which is being described in the Bhagavatam verse. You have the attraction for men, attraction to women, women attracted to men, and for everyone attracted to the objects of the tongue, and everyone attracted to the objects of the nose, the objects of the touch, like a furry cat. People have cats, you know, because it's just such a nice, a nice feel. Ooh, oh, it feels so good to rub my cat. And the cat's thinking, I can spray that person when he rubs me. Anyway. So, some people may get cats for Christmas. So anyway, so actually there's two ways you can get Ratiya Bhava. One is by sadhana, and the other one is you get some mercy, special mercy, kripa. So when you get it from sadhana, you can get it from Vaidhi sadhana or Raganuga sadhana. Of course, Raganuga sadhana should come from Vaidhi sadhana, and Vaidhi sadhana should be focused on achieving Raganuga sadhana. But some people just stick with Vaidhi sadhana. And from the Madhurya Kadambini, if you just stick with the Vaidhi sadhana and you don't come to the point of Raganuga sadhana, then your mood in worshiping the Lord is always one of awe and reverence. Like worshiping the Lord, Narayan, Balaji, and Tirumala, and like that. But, you know, those who go to Vrindavan, if you really want to go to Vrindavan, then you have to come to Raganuga sadhana. And so, in other words, we're Vaidhi, we're not Raganuga right now, but we focus on getting Raganuga. So when we perform this sadhana, we develop this ruchi, and this ruchi becomes a shakti, which means complete attachment, and then that becomes rati. So an example of someone achieving bhava through Vaidhi sadhana is Narada Muni. And Narada Muni is generally worshiping the Lord in an awe and reverent way. You understand? An awe and reverence, that's his mood. He's generally chanting what? What does he generally chant? Narayan, 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 which is nice. Which is very, very nice, of course. And sometimes, you know, he gets a taste or wants to go see Krishna's pastimes. He has to go to Vrindavan. He has his Narada Kund, which is right next to Govardhan. And then he takes a bath in the Kushama Sarovar and takes a gopi body. But that's not his eternal stage. He just takes that to appreciate. So an example of someone who achieved bhava by Raganuga is that story we find in the Nectar of Devotion where the lady just danced all night long. She just kept dancing with joy all night and day long. And she kept dancing. That was her sadhana. And then Krishna became pleased. So you can try that. That's actually nice. And so that's bhava, the result of Raganuga sadhana or Vaidhi sadhana. But bhava can also come from the mercy of Krishna or the devotee. And to get mercy from Krishna, you get Krishna's words, you know, the words is blessings, Krishna looking at you, like Prabhupada said, we shouldn't try to see Krishna, we should try to have Krishna see us, or the emotional impression. So when Krishna is pleased with a devotee, he gives pleasure to that devotee through speaking. Krishna says, all right, I'm pleased with you, have pure devotional service. Of course, Radharani does that. Or he may show his form to the devotee, which obviously creates a sensation in the heart. I mean, if you were to see the form of Krishna, we do on the altar, but we can't appreciate it, then the heart would jump in ecstasy. It would jump out of the chest. And then and there's also stories about how Narada Muni was able to give bhava to unqualified people like the hunter, Magrari. So a pure devotee actually has that potency, just like even if you're unqualified. Of course, you have to desire it. You know, he had to change or at least facilitate the change in Magrari's desire first, right? You know, by scaring him, by showing him his future. So like Prabhupada said, before you can preach to someone, they have to admit they don't know anything. In other words, they have to, as they say, they have to bottom out. They even say that in the material world when someone's addicted to something, isn't it? That before they actually will seek help, they have to hit bottom. You know, an alcoholic or someone like that, you know, they have to find themselves like in the gutter, like covered with vomit, and then they're ready to take some help. So in the same way, Narada Muni did that with Magrari. He just like, he bottomed out. He said, this is what's going to happen. Magrari said, help! When he said help, he was ready for Narada's mercy. And Narada raised them to the proper platform. So this is interesting. According to the advancement of a devotee, he can actually be merciful. He can transfer his mercy according to his advancement. And I'll explain what I mean. Like someone is on prema, he can transfer his power of prema to anybody. Wow. That's pretty good. If someone's on bhava, he can, in other words, like Prabhupada said, you can only bring someone up to the same level as yourself. Or the spiritual master can only bring, he can't bring someone higher than that. If someone's on bhava, he can instill power in the sadhana bhaktas so they can, we're not talking about anybody, we're only talking about the sadhana bhaktas, so they can come to the platform of bhava. You can't bring them to prema. You know, so just a little explanation. So in the Krishna conscious movement, we actually connect everyone with Prabhupada. So everyone can achieve prema. Even if the person you're directly associated with guiding you is not on prema at that time, everyone's connected with Prabhupada. So that's the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. So the Bhava Bhakta can also raise materialistic people to the level of Ruchi if you're on bhava. But Vaidhi and Sadhana Bhaktas can only instill Shraddha in materialistic people. They can't bring them higher than that. Pretty good. Unless they connect them with Prabhupada. I mean, obviously, so, you know, in the Krishna conscious movement, we're connecting everyone with Prabhupada. So even if you happen to be, like, on the Vidhi platform, you can still go out and preach. Don't say, you know, I'm only a Vaidhi Bhakta. I'm useless if I go out and preach. No, you connect them with Prabhupada. That's the whole point of our movement, is to connect people with Prabhupada. We don't try to tell people, even if you are on the platform of prema, you're not going to go around telling everybody you're on the platform of prema. That I'm on the platform of prema. I don't have to connect people with Prabhupada. I connect them with me. Me. Come, you're, what is it? Statue of Liberty says, you're tired, huddled masses yearning to be free. Is that what the statue? Yeah, I think it says that. Statue of Liberty. And so bhava by kripa is very, very rare. You know, so don't think, you know, let me just find some pure devotee and get some kripa. Just like there's one person outside of our movement, you know, they actually take people away from the movement by saying, to the people or their followers do this. They say, you know, you've been serving Krishna and ISKCON for so long. Have you achieved bhava? And the person says, no. Or prema, no. Therefore, maybe your guru isn't just on the right platform. You know, we got someone who's on prema and he'll give you Krishna consciousness. And they think, wow. I wonder, you know, I've been chanting 16 rounds for 50 years and I still can't control my mind and senses. Whew, that's why that guru, he just like, he's just a Vaidhi Bhakta, just like me. But anyway, we're all connected with Prabhupada. And a bona fide guru in the Krishna conscious movement will connect you with Prabhupada. And then you get pure love of God. And I mean, he'll encourage you to read Prabhupada's books and, you know, follow Prabhupada's instructions. That's bona fide. So, okay, let's go further into rati or attraction. Actually, we don't have time. So any questions or comments about these things? We have about 1 minute. But this is an important point, yeah. Yeah. Radhika Ramana Namane, yeah. Yeah, Radha, he does chant. Yeah, as I said, but his primary relationship is one of awe and reverence. Most of the time. I mean, that's Narada Muni's relationship. And of course, I mean, he does in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, you see him at all these different levels. when Gopal Kumar is traveling everywhere. So Narada Muni is present in many different places. He expands himself, but his primary bhava, his primary relationship, primary rasa or taste, is in a mood of reverence towards Krishna. Okay, on that note, we'll offer our obeisances. All glories to His divine grace. Shilvaupad, Shilvaupad ki jai, Bhakti Vinod Thakur ki jai.